It's time for the North Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the North Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com. We are live on the IdahoSports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. You can also listen to this at IdahoSports.com and wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts. I'm Brandon Bainey. Let's bring in our North Idaho expert, Ryan Skaggs. What's up, Skaggs?
Not much. Just living the dream. Work life's been insanely busy. School for my kid's been busy. He's got a choir concert today, you know, those second grade choir concerts. So yeah, life is moving along.
is there a theme to the concert?
It's something about bugs.
Cool.
he's got a part in it where he's like I think he's a maggot. So he's all been right. Practicing for his stuff all week. So he's got one of the main parts in it. So he's excited.
I hear that, and I just think of an army grunt, like stand up straight, maggot.
Go early, army. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Those were always fun. Did you those when you were a kid, right?
Oh yeah.
You go through school.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What was the best concert theme you got to do?
I don't even know if I remember them. I know that we had them. He's had some funny ones. I'll just say his because it was more recent memory. Like he had one that was like puppy program last year or something like that. But I'm sure we had them too. I just can't remember any of them. I think we had a patriotic one year, and that was about it. And then you have like the infamous recorder concert where parents are sitting That's the phase that I'm dreading the most is the recorder year. It's like I'm teaching Owen guitar right now, so hopefully he can skip that recorder phase.
Yeah, that's awesome. When I was a kid, I was a third grader, and the theme was like nations of the world, and each class got a different country. My class got Australia, so we got to do I come from the land down under.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, Men at Work.
That's awesome.
And now everybody knows how terrible I am at singing. So that's cool too. All right.
Yeah, we all learned something today.
That's right. Well, I was going to say we learned a lot about the 5A Inland Empire League races in both baseball and softball. Kind of true on the baseball side, not really true at all on the softball side, right?
No, definitely not on the softball front.
We are in stasis in the softball standing, Skaggs. When we came on last week, we talked about, hey, there's a three-way tie at the top in the loss column in the 5A IEL. And same thing in baseball. And as of a week later, hey, guess what? There's still a tie in the loss column at the top of the softball standings. Coeur d'Alene and Lewiston are both 10-2 in league. Lake City is 8-2 in league play. So they all are sitting there with two losses. It continues to be the split show.
Yep. Death taxes and a split on doubleheaders.
Everybody is splitting with each other. Just most recently in the last week, Coeur d'Alene finally got to play some of those 4A teams on the schedule. And so they actually got some sweeps. We talked about how they had split with Lake City last Tuesday. They then swept Moscow last Saturday, and they swept Sandpoint last night, Skaggs. Your eyes don't deceive you. Each score was identical, 16-0. So 16-0, 16-0. What symmetry?
That's awesome. I mean, it's like they're playing double sets in tennis, but yeah.
Yes. Meanwhile, Lewiston also getting to play the 4A teams. They swept Sandpoint on Saturday. They swept Lakeland on Tuesday night. The wins were tough, though, 6-3 and 9-7, but they do get the sweep there. So they continue to keep pace by sweeping the 4A teams in this combined Inland Empire League. And then you look at Lake City. They only played Post Falls last week, and they swept there. They swept the Trojans 7-3 and 10-5. And now they get their crack at the 4As, Ryan. They're going to play Moscow today, Thursday, April 25th, and then they will play Lakeland on Saturday. We figure they go 4-0 there, and things will be all tied at the top again. When we keep saying it's split city, it's when they're all playing each other. And so we have to look ahead to next week because that's when everybody will play each other for the final stretch of games. Coeur d'Alene, it starts on Saturday, Ryan. They will be at Airport Park in Lewiston for a huge doubleheader against the Bengals. If either side can get the sweep, that might be enough to move the needle to first place.
I think that definitely puts the driver's seat in play if the team can get the sweep in that one. You know, and it's really like, you know, we look at what it's going to come down to down the stretch, and we've been talking about it. Is I don't think these teams have had a real problem with offense. You know, it's been the pitching coming along, and arms get tired. So, I mean, that's a real thing too, especially you go into a doubleheader. Are you going to keep the same pitcher on the bump? And in softball, it's a little bit easier, obviously more so than baseball, but you know, it'll be a pretty telling weekend. I think we're going to find out a whole lot if Coeur d'Alene or Lewiston get a sweep. I mean, that is a huge, huge turn of the tide in my mind to get that driver's seat.
Yeah, between now and next week, we'll know officially how it all shook out. Saturday, Coeur d'Alene at Lewiston for a doubleheader. Then Tuesday, it's Coeur d'Alene at Lake City for a doubleheader. And then Thursday, a week from today, Lewiston at Lake City. So they're all three going to play each other here over the next week. And I guess we'll just continue to sit back and watch, right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm like picking at my computer. I got a new computer this weekend, and so I realized that there's like the protective film that's still over my webcam, and it's making my light go in and out a little bit. So I don't know if it's bothering you, but I'm looking at it. I keep seeing my screen go dim and bright, and I'm like, oh yeah, the sensor's covered up, but it's still got like a little bit of the blue colored film over it, but I'll mess with it for next week. I'll have it fixed.
Yeah, no, hey, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. We operate on a shoestring budget here, folks, at IdahoSports.com. Hey, for a plug, if you're interested in sponsoring any of this great content, you know, we don't ask you to pay for anything on IdahoSports.com. Nothing's behind paywalls. These are totally free to watch. But we need, you know, support from local businesses to provide all this free content to you. So if you are interested in helping out, IdahoSports.com continue to produce great content. Send an email to Logan at IdahoSports.com. That's Logan at IdahoSports.com. All right, let's move to baseball, Inland Empire League, Ryan, where we do have a little bit of separation now. Last week, Lake City, Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, and Lewiston were all kind of jumbled together. The standings are still pretty tight, which I think is going to make for a really great district tournament, especially. But as of this moment, Lake City is in first, 11-4-1. And we'll get to that tie here in a second. Coeur d'Alene is a half game back, 9-5. Post Falls is a full game back, 8-5-1. And then Lewiston is 1.5 games back, 8-6. I feel like it's the end of the major league season. We're like at the end of September and we're watching, like, what's the magic number for Lake City to clinch the title?
You know, you look at this though, and like a game and a half, I mean, that's a doubleheader. I mean, realistically, Lewiston could, you know, you get a little hot streak in a few games. I mean, good grief, you could climb right back into the driver's seat going from worst to first. So there's no real room. I think margin of error is a razor's edge. We talked about it in softball, but it's the same in baseball too. I mean, the margin of error for these two district tournaments, they're going to be really compelling because it's ultra competitive to get those spots to the state tournament. I think the North's got a number of good teams this year. So, you know, it's going to be consistent play. We talked about pitching on the softball field, but it's going to be the same in baseball too. I mean, you know, these teams, we're going to see the brightest stars will come to shine per se in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. But yeah, there's a lot to be said, and I'm excited to see this end. And we talked about it last week at length with the smaller schools, but this 5A race is super competitive, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Really what turned it was Lake City played Post Falls four times in the span of 3 days. They swept last Saturday at Lake City's field 19-1 and then 8-6. And then they traveled to Post Falls on Tuesday. The Trojans won the first game 3-2. And then the second game ended in a 4-4 tie. The Coeur d'Alene Press had a very succinct description of what happened. So I'm just going to read what they posted. And of course, Coeur d'Alene Press, we talked about it up here in North Idaho. We're very spoiled with our newspaper coverage between Coeur d'Alene Press, Lewiston Tribune, Bonner's Ferry Herald, Bonner County Daily Bee.
I'm going to do an all riders team. Like I do it with the athletes. I mean, we could do that up north too. Like there, we got so many good guys that are in the business up here. We're extremely lucky.
Yeah. And you just look at that compared to like Boise, right? Or even East Idaho a little bit. And before any, I'm not singling out any media members.
Slow down. No, I'm joking though.
No, seriously, our colleagues in this business, they want to cover it all, and it's the parent companies, it's the, you know, the Gamut Media and the big parent companies are all about pinching pennies and restricting, and yep. So their hands are kind of tied, and I sympathize and empathize with them. They're doing the best they can given the parameters that have been placed upon them. So it is unfortunate. I'm just thankful up here in North Idaho, the companies that own the newspapers let their people do a really good job. And it's
absolutely, they do a great job up here. And you know, we talk about it, I mean, at length, and we got great guys all across from Bonner's Ferry all the way to Lewiston and even up the Colorado River, and St. Mary's has good dudes. And I mean, there's great riders all over the place, so we're just extremely lucky in this area to get great we get good info. I mean, our intel is as good as it gets to do this show. I mean, we rely on a lot of the stuff that we get from guys like Mark Nelke and Jason Elliott with the Coeur d'Alene Press, and you know, Kovach and the other guys down there, and Trebe down in Lewiston, and I mean, gosh, Christian up north, and I'm skipping people too, but we're extremely lucky with who we have in this area.
Yeah, it's a really symbiotic relationship, right? We use these great other media outlets for context, and I think almost everyone in the media comes to our site to get the updated scores and standings and everything. Yeah. So yeah, it works out.
They
really
even
well.
Share this too. I mean, like they're sharing, it's media helping out media. And
yeah,
I hate calling myself a media member, cause I think I'm the most non-media member of media members. I'm just a talking head that shows up, you know, on a screener in somebody's ears once a week, but you know, those guys do it every day and they do a great job. So they deserve obviously more credit, I think, than we do, but I mean, we try to do our homework as well. So, that's the thing. We don't want to share bad info, and we're usually the first one to fall on a sword if we do.
That's right. As we all learned during the Case Why Not pursuit of his record, most points all time, right? By the way, Case signed with Washington State. So congratulations there.
Congrats to him. And the Cougs got a good one. And that's, yeah, I mean, I grew up a Coug fan, and my sister's a Coug and my wife's a Coug. So, you know, I'll be hopefully catching some games down the road in Pullman. That'd be great to see him hit the hard court. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Close to home. That'll be really fun to take in some Cougars games. Okay. Back to my original point was this, let's see, circle back here, this tie between Lake City and Post Falls on Tuesday in baseball, they tied 4-4. And here's what the Coeur d'Alene Press said in their write-up. By rule, it's a tie. But it's not what Lake City coach Mike Criswell or Post Falls coach Kurt Reese had in mind for the conclusion of Tuesday's second game of an Inland Empire League doubleheader. Lake City took a 5-4 lead with one out and had the bases loaded in the top of the sixth inning of the second game before the game was called due to darkness. In that case, the game reverts to the previously completed inning, which left the teams tied at 4-4. Since the game was past five innings, it is considered a complete game and ends in a tie. So we've seen this in some other leagues. You know, I think Orofino and St. Mary's had a game suspended due to darkness earlier this year, but it was only in the third inning. So they just picked it up and played it this week. I didn't know that there was a rule after the fifth inning and that can be considered. And so basically both teams walked away from it going, man, I don't know how great I feel about this, but it is what it is. And so there's that tie throwing a monkey wrench into the standings.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't want to say any team's dogs is a bullet, but you know, it certainly helps their case a little bit in the standings, not to pick up the tally mark in the L column. That tie certainly doesn't really differentiate much. If there was a tie to happen, wins and losses come the end of the season or for seeding and all that stuff. But you know, we're going to, for all we know, it's probably not really going to matter much in the baseball side of things. I think Lake City's starting to separate themselves a little bit from the field. But, you know, we say that tongue-in-cheek because you got teams like, you know, 4A Moscow that is handing out L's to some of the 5A teams too. So it's it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how this thing runs down the stretch. We keep saying, I sound like a broken record saying that, but man, it's been an exciting season of baseball and softball up here up north again. This district tournament's going to be probably one of the better ones I think we've seen. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see a few games go extras just because of the teams wanting to punch their ticket to state.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it all shakes out. Coeur d'Alene is the team, I think, that kind of is the team that's going to determine this race one way or another. They play Lewiston on Saturday in Lewiston, and then they finish at Lake City next Tuesday. And if they can run the table there, I mean, that would vault them ahead of Lake City for first place. Even if they sweep Lake City and split with Lewiston, right? That would still put them ahead. And I think even a split with Lake City and a sweep of if they win three of the four, they're ahead. If they win four of four, obviously they're there. And if they won two of four, I guess it would have to depend, because then you're looking at head to head and stuff with Lake City. Yeah. Early. But that tie is going to loom large. It really is. Yeah. And so we'll see.
But I mean, at post falls, you know, they're looming out there too. It's not that they're slouches or anything like that too. We've talked about these other teams, and you know, realistically, we could see Lewiston get a sweep. I mean, like that's a Bengal team that I could realistically see, you know, winning a couple of tight games. And you know, will that happen? We'll see. I think, you know, weather's gonna be nice down in Lewiston this weekend at Church Field, so that's gonna be it's always a great place to catch a ball game. I mean, Lewiston, as far as we talk about it a lot here, a lot of teams head to Lewiston when in doubt, but when the weather's great down there, the ball flies out of that park. Holy cow. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun down there at Church Field this weekend. Some great games. I mean, all across the area, we've got some great games.
Yeah. So Post Falls plays Lewiston next Tuesday, the same day Lake City's playing Coeur d'Alene. I like that. End of the season. Everyone's playing each other. Before that, on Saturday, Post Falls has to go to Moscow and play two with the Bears. And if the
Bears have been on a tear lately.
They have. They have been playing exceptionally well. This is a really good Moscow team. Yeah. They're 9-7 overall, which again, casual fans are going to go, 9-7 and 5-5 in the league. But remember, they have to play all these 4A teams, and they just swept Sandpoint. They're going to play Sandpoint again and Lakeland again twice. They've split with Lakeland this year. They won 15-2 and then lost 4-3. So I would still give the edge to Moscow right now in the 4A IEL standings. But I mean, they pushed. They've swept Lewiston. They lost to Lake City by a run. They lost to Coeur d'Alene twice by 3 and by 2, respectively. This is not going to be an easy time for Post Falls going to Moscow.
No, Moscow is one of those dangerous teams. And, you know, quote unquote, you can poke the bear going down there. I mean, they can show up and the bats get going pretty quick in a hurry with that lineup. And they've got guys that can swing it. And they've got pitching. They've got defense. That's a 4A team that, you know, if they're the one that comes out of the 4A, you know, IEL and punches their ticket to state, that's a team that they've been tested, and you know, they could realistically make some noise in the state tournament this year. I don't want to look too far ahead because Sandpoint can play, but so can Lakeland's playing great for a new coach too, and yeah, a lot can happen between now and the end of district tournament time, but. Been an exciting year. The Bears are, you know, they're deserving of some notoriety too, because they've played extremely well down the stretch.
Yep. A couple of comments here before we wrap up our baseball discussion. Drake Lounsbury says that St. Mary's game was in the top of the sixth also. So there you go. Different rules. Central Idaho League has different rules from the Inland Empire League. And so Orofino and St. Mary's suspended that game in the top of the sixth. It was tied. They said, yeah, let's finish it out. And so another interesting wrinkle. There's no uniform. Maybe with the IHSAA taking over baseball next year, they might have some standards across the board, but maybe not. Maybe it'll still be up to each conference to see how they want to decide that. And then here's our good friend Max Oswald from the Bonner County Daily Bee up there in Sandpoint. Moscow's Carson Cobb struck out 14 over 7 innings in game 1 versus Sandpoint the other day.
Oof. And that's a decent Sandpoint lineup too. So, I mean, Carson Cole, like that. Yeah. If we give out helmet stickers, that kid's getting the like kudos of the week. Holy cow. 14 over 7 is a great stat line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Sandpoint has been kind of the gold standard of the league the past couple of years. And so we'll see if the Bulldogs can find a way to battle back here, or maybe it's time for a new champ from Moscow, and Lakeland's still in the mix too. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this as it progresses down the stretch. All right, let's shift to golf. Skaggs. Lakeside hosted a tournament yesterday at Circling Raven Golf Course in Worley.
I didn't get an invite to this one, did you?
No, we are blessed with an abundance of incredible golf courses up here in North Idaho.
Sure.
I was talking to my best friend who lives over in Western Montana, and he was talking about like, hey, I'm gonna have to come over and hit the links a couple times this summer. I said, we should do like a home and away series. Like, you know, you pick five courses in Montana. We'll go to the five best courses here.
That gets expensive really fast, you know?
Well, he's a banker. So he, you know, he's in the high world. Go.
Depends on who's buying, right?
Yes. Loser buys, and I really got to get out and start practicing. So
that's right.
Circling Raven, of course, is just majestic. It hosts professional events, right? So, yesterday we had the Lakeside invite at Circling Raven Golf Course in Worley. Genesis Prep won the boys' title by 9 strokes over Lakeside, the hosts, 337 to 348. On the girls' side, you're going to be shocked to hear this, Gags. Bonner's Ferry won the team title going away. They shot a 350. St. Mary's took second at 430. So Bonner's Ferry finished 90 strokes ahead of second place St. Mary's.
That's a shocker. I can't believe that Bonner's Ferry girls won a tournament. I say that it's sarcasm, people. Seeing Genesis Prep in there, that doesn't surprise me. That's a team that, you know, they had some guys that made the state last year that showed up extremely well. And like, that's a team that's on a bit of a run. They've got great players in their lineup. And, you know, we talk about the courses though, man, holy cow, playing a Circling Raven in the high school event's great. And I know that there's been teams that have played districts at like the Idaho Club up in Sandpoint. To hit on that note of great, amazing area golf courses, there is no shortage, especially in spring. The greens conditions right now are crazy in some of these courses. So I saw some pictures of somebody playing out at Pinehurst the other day, and it looked awesome. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to make a drive soon. There's some great courses around here, public and private. But, congrats to Genesis Prep getting the win. That's a big deal for them. And Bonner's Ferry continuing their run, kind of their stranglehold of dominance. And the Bears, that team is extremely successful, and they've earned the accolades, and they're the favorite in my mind to win state again this year. But
the Bayer twins go 1-2. Braylon Bayer wins the girls individual title at 72. Avery Bayer second at 77. So they go 1-2, and of course they're both going D1 for competing Big Sky Conference schools. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember. One's going to Weber State, one's going to Idaho State. So that'll be interesting. That'll be fun. On the boys' side, Bo Jones from Lakeside took top honors. He shot a 65 at 7 under par. That's incredible.
Circling Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if we're getting a scramble together, I think we know who we're going to call, but yeah.
should we just get him his tour card already?
Jeez. Yeah, between him and I'm in a brain fart right now. The kid up at Kellogg too.
Stephen Paul, who graduated Stephen Paul, last year.
Seth Swallows, like all those kids, man. There's no shortage of dynamite golfers in this area. And but shooting a 65 is Circling Raven. I mean, that's something that you know you dream about. That's a tough course. That is an extremely tough course. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Stephen Paul from Kellogg, who graduated last year, he went to a golf academy for like his sophomore or junior season. And so just really elevated his game and continuing to do well in his golfing career. So yeah, way to go. All of the great young men and women who were golfing yesterday at Circling Raven. I can think of a lot of worse ways to spend a day. Let's wrap up with some tennis talk here, Ryan. Lakeland and Coeur d'Alene Charter got together yesterday for a little head-to-head matchup, and they ended up splitting six even. Lakeland got wins in boys singles number one, Ben Ryan, number three, Maverick Guerrier as well. They also picked up wins in boys, no boys doubles, girls singles, Charlotte Wybach at number two and Jenna Olson at number three. And then they also picked up victories in mixed doubles. Number one, Shelby Ware and Toby Tebbe, as well as number two mixed doubles, Amanda Olson and Ethan Smith. Coeur d'Alene Charter picked up wins at number two boys singles, Cooper Hermes. Number one boys doubles, Tate Burkholder and Owen Sharp. Number two doubles as well, Titan Reynolds and True Watkins. So they swept the boys doubles. Girls singles, number one, Alexandria Montgomery got the win for Coeur d'Alene Charter as well. And then in girls doubles, they swept the number one team of Lydia Lehoset and Claire Leahy, and the number two team of Agnes Nordstedt and Emily Agrin. So there you go. Evens across the board.
Even split there. And you know, I know that we talk about there's some names in there obviously we recognize when you're looking at district tournament, tennis tournament, state qualifiers, that there's some names that'll stand out on that list. Ben Ryan, you know, on the boys side definitely stands out. And then you know, number one girls singles at Coeur d'Alene Charter. Like there's you know, great players at every school's got a couple aces. I say that pun intended for tennis, but that, you know, they roll out, and there's going to be some good qualifiers. I mean, there's a lot of good tennis to be had. There's a huge tournament this weekend up here. The Inland Empire Tournament in Spokane is going to take place. Number of the IEL teams will be participating. Not all of them, but a lot of them will be showing up for that one. That's going to be a huge one. That's it. I think they have nine different sites this year in Spokane at high schools or public tennis courts throughout the city of Spokane and Spokane County. So if you're up in North Idaho and you want to catch some great tennis, like that's always a fun time. Saturday at those tournaments is phenomenal. You see the level of competition there. It's crazy. But and I think Lewiston's got something coming up this weekend too. I think they're heading on the road for another event.
Yeah. Just to wrap up the Coeur d'Alene Charter discussion.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're good. That boys doubles team, that number one doubles team, of Tate Burkholder and Owen Sharp, they took third at the 3A state tournament last year as sophomores, you know, expecting big things out of them this year.
Yep.
Alexandria Montgomery from Coeur d'Alene Charter took fourth in girls singles last year. She was competing in the number one slot yesterday against Lakeland, but most times Caitlin Combs is in that number one spot. She wasn't competing yesterday. So between Combs and Alexandria and that doubles team, there's going to be a lot to watch from Coeur d'Alene Charter.
Yeah. I mean, I think each classification is going to have a few kids that, you know, are notable making their appearance at the state tournament this year. And, you know, 3A has got great representation from Coeur d'Alene Charter. 4A, we of course know about Sandpoint. But, you know, in the 5As, you're going to get a mix of kids from Lewiston, Coeur d'Alene, you know, Lake City usually ends up throwing one or two down there too. And, you know, Post Falls, I don't know this year necessarily. I haven't been paying attention too much to their lineup, but I know that Lewiston's got a pretty strong lineup this year too.
Yes. Lewiston always, you know, has great golfers, or geez, golfers, great tennis players. They got good golfers
sports,
too, right?
Right. Leisure sports, golf, tennis. Yeah. They have success on both sides.
Leisure sports. That's funny. Okay. I was also trying to look at this weekend in Boise. It's the annual Capital Classic. This is the biggest tennis tournament in the Northwest. It is a little bit larger than the Inland Empire League. 40 teams have come in the past. They've scaled it back to 32 since COVID-19. And Lewiston is going down there to compete. So it'll be a good test for the Bengals.
Yeah. No, that's going to be a good test for them. They're going to get to see probably some similar opponents that they would see come state tournament time. But you're also going to see teams, you know, the 4A strengths that get invited down in Southern Idaho too. And you'll see quite a few, obviously, from other states too coming in. But yeah, should be a great weekend ahead of sports. I mean, across the calendar, you could go from all sports. There's going to be some big, big notable games. We talked about at length last week about the small school baseball too. So there's a ton on the line this weekend. It's kind of like you're getting to the end of the road. in the regular season for a lot of these teams, and there's going to be a whole lot of fun and excitement taking place in the field of play.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun, and we will have all of the tennis updates for you on next week's edition of the North Idaho Prepcast here on idahosports.com. We are hitting the stretch drive, Ryan. I've been busy putting in district tournament brackets for baseball and softball like next week. Next week we will we'll start breaking down brackets and previewing matchups and stuff. It's going to be a good time. So
yeah, and I saw that we're doing state baseball and stuff too. So like that's another exciting thing to see on the site. So keep an eye out for all the district, not just North Idaho, but across the entire state. You start seeing those brackets take shape. It's going to be exciting to see.
Yep. Couple of comments here, and then we will hit the door on the way out. We were talking about Carson Cobb from Moscow getting 14 Ks on the mound. Casey says it was Levi Anderson for Moscow with 14 strikeouts. So there we go. That was against against Sandpoint. I'm guessing Casey might be related to Levi. Anderson's probably a common last name, but
yeah. Yeah. But we were, like we said, we trust our sources. So that yes. If we were wrong, we'll fall on that sword. But regardless, I mean, a great show. And that Bears team, they've got a great lineup with Anderson and you know, Isaacson and everybody else that's in that group of kids. There's some good ball players in there in that mix. So, you know, yep. We get a chance to follow them as they make the run towards state, and hopefully, you know, for Moscow fans, I know they're looking forward to making a state appearance this year in baseball.
Yep, no doubt. One last track and field nugget from Max at the Bonner County Daily Beast. Sandpoint track and field. Klein Fragoso broke the school record in the pole vault, clearing 14 feet, 7.5 inches. He's looking on to walk on to Colorado State next year, Division One. Hey, we've already got some D1 track athletes up here in North Idaho. We would love to see more get added to the list, right?
And another nugget, track nugget out there, I think the Prairie 4x2 boys team just set the school record this last weekend as well. And I know that they've had some huge showings in the field events still. And, the small school track is alive and well in Districts 1 and 2. That's for dang sure.
Yeah. Speaking of small school track and field, here's Scott Burton. Great show, boys. Thank you, Scott. Scott is, of course, the host of our Magic Valley Prepcast. That is coming up later this afternoon. If you want to hear about small school track and field, you'll want to tune into that because we're going to take you behind the scenes of the Lighthouse Christian track and field program, which has 6 athletes in total this year and a first-time head coach. And Lighthouse is a school that's got baseball, softball, and track and field, like so many schools up north do. It's not as common down in the south. Track really dominates, but when you have all of these great spring sports options, sometimes you're dealing with lower numbers. So
yeah,
it'll be
or you an get interesting kids sport. To do multiple sports. So yeah,
yes, and some schools are better than others at allowing that for sure. Yeah. So all right, well, thanks for tuning in to the North Idaho Prepcast, everybody. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Get outside if you can. I just got my sprinklers turned on for the first time, so
I mowed the lawn this weekend, so yeah, we're going places.
Yeah, I came over to your place and borrowed a wheelbarrow last week.
My backyard was bad. I realized that. I was like, oh.
you're good. Just a heads up, I'm still using it this weekend. I should be done, and then
I don't need it, so you're fine.
Return to you. So okay,
you'll be that neighbor. Good. All right, Homer.
Yes, I am. You're Flanders. I'm Homer. I'm just gonna acquire all of your stuff. So that's how that's gonna go. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the concert later today, Ryan. We'll get a report on that next week as well. For Ryan Skaggs, I'm Brandon Maney. We'll see you next week for another edition of the North Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.